Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy to be with you this morning in worship. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. My colleague is Brother Hammett Evans. He'll be bringing the message today on this, the first Sunday of Advent. We are also wrapping up our Reconnect series, and so it is Consecration Sunday, Stewardship Sunday, with our commitment cards and all of those items, and that will occur later on in the service. Just a few announcements before we get started. First of all, today is a wonderful day here in the life of Asbury. This afternoon, we will officially kick off our Advent season with a consecration service that starts at 4 o'clock. We will gather and do a little bit of worship, and then we'll head outside and we will burn a copy of the mortgage note. As we know, we paid off our mortgage last year, and this is a wonderful opportunity to do that. Right after that, we will gather for dinner, and then we will come in here for a hanging of the green service, which will signify the start of our Advent season. Our family-to-family boxes are still ongoing. We have those available, and they're not due back until December 5th. If you would like a box to fill, you are welcome to pick one of those up in the Wilson Activity Center. There's also a table in there that shows you all the items to buy and a good breakdown of how to get those. Our Advent series begins tonight. We are calling that God with Us. It'll be a special time here at Asbury, and one of the things that we are offering to the congregation are these devotional books here, and we have ordered one for every household. You guys picked up a lot of them last week, and so I'm thankful for that. We still have 18 copies left, and they are right outside in the narthex. So if you didn't get one last week for your home, I welcome you to do so, and they'll be right out there. One of the ushers can grab those for you. On December 12th at 4 p.m., we're going to have our Santa and sing-along event for the children, and so we encourage all of our children here at Asbury to come and be part of that wonderful event. And then lastly, we have two positions that we are looking to fill on the Asbury staff. The first is a part-time communications director. And so that will be a person who engages with the church through email and website and various types of communication, but also engages with the community at large. It needs to be somebody who is really good at social media. I am not, and so we look to hire somebody who can fill that. So if you know somebody who is very good at communications and is looking for a part-time job, please send them our way. We would love to talk with them. And then also, we are looking for another nursery worker on Sunday mornings. And so if you know someone that is an hourly position who would like to come here on Sunday morning, loves to be with children, that would be a great job for them. Now, as we continue on with worship, I invite you to enjoy our call to worship, which will be performed this morning by the Asbury Choir.
Oh,
Good morning. Please stand as you are able to join in our invocation this morning, as printed in your bulletin. Righteous One, your glory shines brighter than the sun. We remember your compassion and your faithful love as we come to worship this day. Lift up our souls to meet the challenges we face as we seek to bear the fruit of your salvation. May your righteous branch grow within our hearts, that our lives may abound in mercy and steadfast love. And may we be found ready and waiting when the one drawing near comes with power and glory to bring to you. Amen. Please remain standing as we join in our hymn of praise, Come, Ye Faithful People, Come, as found on page 694 in your hymnals. Just a reminder, if you are looking for ways to give this morning, there's an offering basket in the narthex outside of the sanctuary. There's also a QR code on the back of your bulletin. There's two there actually, one to scan for attendance. The other, if you scan with your camera on your phone, will take you to a website with ways to give electronically to the church. We of course still have traditional means of sending a check into the church office. You can arrange with Cheryl for electronic deposits or any other way that you may be inclined to give. Please feel led to do so. We'll now be joined by Richard and Carrie Hunter.
strife and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace.
Amen. I love Advent season. We are treated to such beautiful music here at Asbury. We have a wonderful brass ensemble here with us today, and then, of course, Richard and Carrie, and there'll be so many more throughout this season. So we hope that that is a joy and a blessing to all of you. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious, loving God, we give you thanks for this moment, for this opportunity to gather as your beloved children, whether here in this sanctuary or online. You have brought us together for a purpose, and that purpose is to praise and glorify your name. And so we give you thanks, God, for all of the abundant blessings that you continue to constantly pour into our lives. Those blessings we see today, those blessings we won't see until tomorrow. God, in this season of anticipation, may we rest peacefully in your presence. May we feel your love and grace powerfully as we move through this anticipated time of our coming Messiah. God, we pray this morning for all of those who are hurting. We pray for all of those who are lost. We pray for all of those, God, who have chosen to turn away from you. And we pray for ourselves in those moments that we turn away from you. God, there are so many whose names sit in our minds and in our hearts today. We pray for Clifford Smith. We pray for June Glazier. We pray for Fred Williams, and we pray for Barbara Clark. We pray for Noah Logan. We pray for Megan Arnold. We pray for our neighbor, Ms. Franklin. We pray for all of those names, God, who sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, the tip of our tongues. We know and trust that you are at work in all of their lives in a mighty way. God, we gather this morning above all to give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, for our Savior, who paid the price on the cross that we could not pay, whose resurrection set us free from the chains that bound us, the chains of sin and death. We thank you for his earthly ministry, for all the things that he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. We know that the Spirit is moving powerfully among us today, and we give you thanks for all of that. We give you thanks, God, for the power of prayer, for the ability to gather like this and to speak directly to you, to bring our burdens to you, to bring our praises and our thanks to you. And we are thankful to know how to pray. Your Son Jesus taught us that when he taught us, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Jeremiah 29, verses 1, 4 through 7, and 10 through 14. The prophet Jeremiah sent a letter from Jerusalem to the few surviving elders among the exiles, to the priests and the prophets, and to all the people Nebuchadnezzar had taken to Babylon from Jerusalem. The Lord of heavenly forces, the God of Israel, proclaims to all the exiles, I have carried off from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Cultivate gardens and eat what they produce. Get married and have children. Then help your sons find wives and your daughters find husbands, in order that they may too have children. Increase in number there so that you don't dwindle away. Promote the welfare of the city where you have been sent into your exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because your future depends on its welfare. The Lord proclaims, when Babylon's 70 years are up, I will come and fulfill my gracious promise to you back to this place. I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all your heart, you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord, and I will end your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have scattered you, and I will bring you home after your long exile, declares the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Brian. And I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. Did everybody have a good one? Everybody ate enough and all of that? I tried not to eat too much, which was a blessing. I do want to recognize one thing, and that is that that bald trombone player is my brother. And so welcome, Bryce. We're glad all of you are here. We're so thankful that there are so many choir members between us, because we've been fighting in church since 1973. But anyway, today we're talking about how hope reconnects us as a church family. And would you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for being with us in so many ways already this morning. And we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable to you, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. I heard a story about some guys that were just hanging out one night, and they started talking about death. One of them turned to the others and said, what do you want people to say at your funeral? What do you want said about you at your funeral? And one guy thought for just a second. He said, I hope that people will say he was a great humanitarian who cared about his community. Another one spoke up and said, I think that's fine, but I really want to be remembered as a great husband and father, an example for many to follow. And then the third guy thought for just a second, and he said, I hope somebody says, look, he's moving. Now, I hope somebody says that at my funeral too, but the third guy reminds me a lot of the prophet Jeremiah in our Old Testament. Jeremiah lived in very, very tough times. The Babylonians had conquered his nation of Israel, and they completely annihilated it. They destroyed the capital city of Jerusalem. They obliterated God's temple, the sanctuary where they worship. And then the Babylonians carried off all of the religious leaders and the political rulers into exile. It was a national catastrophe. For all intents and purposes, Israel as a nation ceased to exist. It died. The exiles lost hope. They found themselves in a foreign land, far away from home, with very strange customs. And some of them began to believe that God had abandoned them. And yet, in the midst of all of the destruction and death and chaos and confusion, God gave good news to Jeremiah. Even though Israel was dead, her God was not. Amen? God told Jeremiah to tell the exiles that. And God said through Jeremiah to the exiles, however this has happened, I have led you to the place where you are. I have led you into exile. And then God tells the exiles to do three things where they live in Babylon. First, God tells them to build and plant. God says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. Second of all, God tells the exiles to bless Babylon. Now think about that. Babylon is the one who conquered them, who destroyed their nation. But God says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. So build and plant, bless, and then finally God tells the exiles to believe. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. See, God was saying that even though things look bleak right now, God's intentions are good. God is at work creating a future with hope. In the face of a dead nation, God turns to Jeremiah and says, look, he's moving. You just tell them to build and plant, to bless and to believe. Put your hope in me and the future that I am bringing. Now, we throw that word hope around a lot. We use it as a synonym for optimism, but really optimism and hope are very different things. Optimism is simply having a positive attitude about your success or the success of your project or team. Optimism may or may not have any basis in reality, but hope is different. You know, we say stuff like, I hope the Hogs win. And they did. Amen and hallelujah. Amen. I'll get to that in a second. Or we say, I hope my political party takes over. Or I hope my test results come out fine. But the problem is that when you put it that way, your hopes may or may not come true. And in fact, your hopes may be very different from my hopes. Mizzou fans hope their team would win too. Amen, Brother Nick. But you see, that's not the kind of hope that the Bible talks about. If you put your hope in a human institution, you will be disappointed. If you put your hope in a human being, you will be disappointed. If you put your hope in a politician or a political party or a sports team or a pastor or even in your own abilities, you will be disappointed. In fact, the Bible says that one of the worst things that you and I can do is to put our hope in stuff like that. That is the very definition of idolatry. You see, biblical hope is rooted in who God is and in God's promises. We believe that God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. God is love. God loves us. God created the universe out of love. And so we trust and we believe that love triumphs in the end. That is God's promise to us in Scripture. Hope, then, is living in a way that expects the future that God has promised and trusting that that promise is good, that future is good. So, as I've been praying for our church family over the last months, these verses from Jeremiah have come to my mind quite often. Because going through the pandemic has felt like being exiled to a foreign land. We've had to do so many things in different ways. We have to do church in different ways. I would almost bet that Zoom meeting wasn't in most of our vocabularies 2 years ago. We've worshiped fully online, in person outdoors, in person indoors, various combinations of those things. Some of us are worshiping right now in the sanctuary. Some are watching right now online. Others are watching later on in the week in their car or on the treadmill. A couple of months ago, I looked at the data, and United Methodist Churches in Arkansas together, we're seeing about one-third of the number of people in worship every week that we saw pre-pandemic. And that was true of Asbury, too. We were a little bit ahead of that curve. Last week, about 160 people worshiped in person here in the sanctuary or in the WAC, and 140 people worshiped with Asbury online. So when you add those up, we're only slightly down from where we were in 2020. But people are worshiping now in very different ways. I don't have to tell you how the world has changed over the last 20 months and how the church has had to adapt to those changes. And all of us have a very deep desire for everything just to go back the way it was. But the truth of the matter is, things will never return to the way that they were on March 12, 2020. Too much time has gone by. Too much change has happened. And so God invites us to build and plant and to bless and to believe in this new landscape. In the midst of these changes, God still expects us to be faithful and fruitful. God says, while you are in this strange land with its strange customs and strange ways, be fruitful and multiply. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. When I hear that last line about planting gardens and eating fruit, it makes me think of a professor named Kenneth Helpend at the University of Oregon. He's retired now, but he still teaches landscape architecture. Years ago, by chance, he came across an old photograph of some shelters in French military trenches from World War I. And what caught his eye was that the trenches were surrounded by gardens. He did a little more research, and he found that people often plant gardens in times of war. He found photographs of gardens planted by Jews living in ghettos during World War II, photos of gardens in German POW camps, in Japanese American internment camps here in the United States, and in places like Sarajevo. Even today, people are planting gardens in places like Afghanistan. Helpend calls these defiant gardens. And he says that they are a, quote, refusal to give in to the horror of the hell so close at hand. That is what God was telling the ancient Jews to do in captivity. Don't give in to the horror. Build homes, plant gardens, bless the community where you live. Believe that I will give you a future with hope. So we don't know what the next few months will bring. We haven't known what the next few months will bring for quite some time. The new Omicron variant has been in the news this week. I got a notification just a minute ago about it. We may have another post-holiday surge like we did last year. And we don't know how long this will go on. At the same time, the United Methodist Church is going through a denominational split. General Conference has been postponed until next year, and it may be delayed further. And those delays simply prolong the pain. But the pandemic and the struggles within our denomination are out of our control. In the midst of that, God invites us to build and plant, to bless and believe. So how will we do that? I told you a couple of weeks ago that our vision team began meeting in October to pray and to identify our priorities and strategic initiatives for the next 10 months. So first of all, the vision team said that, you know, if you want to build or plant a garden, you need a plan to do that. And so beginning in January, the vision team will come back and we will discern and cast a new vision for Asbury United Methodist Church. And we'll ask those two key questions. Who is God calling Asbury to be, and what is God calling Asbury to do? The vision team will take the lead on that, but the whole congregation will be involved in that process, and we'll be telling you more about that after the first of the year. We're also rebuilding all of our ministries. Ministries for children, ministries for youth, and ministries for adults of all ages. And we're rebuilding them from the ground up. We are not trying to simply recreate the past, but we're starting where we are with what we have and growing from there. Second, at Asbury, we care for one another like a family, and the pandemic has been very difficult on us because we've lost track of each other. The pandemic has hampered our relationships with one another, and so as a result, we felt isolated from one another. We've missed each other. So over the next few weeks, a group will be contacting folks that we haven't seen in person since March of 2020. Brother Nick has also just rebooted the congregational care team now that we can go back in nursing facilities and hospitals and places like that. And they are reaching out to folks who are unable to attend in-person activities and worship. During Advent, Nick and I will be visiting and taking communion to our homebound members if they desire that. The vision team also recognizes that not all of us at Asbury know everybody else at Asbury. And so there will be opportunities for us to get to know each other better as well. But it's important for us to remember that God invites us not only to build up ourselves, but to bless our community. And we do that in a couple of ways. One is how we welcome families into Asbury who come to Asbury for the first time. In the past, I bet you could say this, Asbury was known as the friendliest church in town. And we still want to be that. As people grow more comfortable coming out in public and gathering in larger groups, we'll be rebooting our connections team as well. That includes our bread ministry team, but it also includes each and every one of us. If you see somebody you don't know at church, be sure to introduce yourself. Make them feel at home if they're a guest. We also bless our community through all of the missions that we support. So many of those missions, I learned this during our discussions, so many of those missions happen through Sunday school classes and small groups or youth groups and things like that. So the vision team is looking for one mission that we could support as a church family. We also want to bring back the Saturday of service this coming May. So, to accomplish these priorities and strategic initiatives, we're budgeting for a new part-time communications director, which Nick mentioned earlier, and a full-time youth minister. Nick has done an excellent job rebuilding our youth ministry. Let's give him a sign of our appreciation for that. Yeah. And I know that just made him feel really uncomfortable. But we pray that Nick will continue to do that. And our hope is that he will. But we want to have the resources in place just in case we have to transition to someone else. It will take all of us. I said this a couple of weeks ago, too. We can no longer rely on our pastors and staff to do all the work. These tasks are too big for that small of a group, or for any one person to do. It will require all of us doing our part to be who God calls Asbury to be and to do all God calls Asbury to do. We have to use what we have, where we are, to build and plant, to bless, and to believe, as we trust in God's promise to give a future with hope. When I think of Defiant Gardens, I can't help but remember my friend Chris. Sometimes Chris's wife will join us online. And if you're watching, Jenny, hi. Everybody say hi, Jenny. I got to know Chris and Jenny when I was their pastor in England. And I met Chris. He was 51 years old, 51-year-old farmer. I met them in August, right after I moved there. Chris had just learned that he was terminally ill and only had months to live. He and Jenny lived on their family farm that they'd owned for generations with their two college-age daughters. Chris was not supposed to live to see Christmas that year, but he did. And in fact, he almost lived to see Easter. That spring, Chris was too sick to farm. But when he had a good day, he would go out into his garden and work. He tilled the earth. He fertilized the soil. He sowed the seed. He watered the ground. Chris knew that he would not live to see the harvest, but he planted a garden anyway. That is how God wants us to live. Building and planting, blessing our community, and believing in God's promise to bring a future with hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen. This morning we have an opportunity to show our trust in the future that God promises to us. Today is Stewardship Consecration Sunday. And this is the day when we turn in our annual financial pledge cards and our covenant forms as an offering of our thanksgiving to God. I want you to know, if you're a guest this morning with us, we do this once a year, and we're so glad you're here. We don't expect you to participate with us. You can use this time for prayer and to discern how you want to allow God to use you in the coming year. You may participate at home if you're watching online. You can visit the web address that's on your screen and download the electronic pledge card and covenant form. You can fill those out on your device and fill them out and email them to our financial administrator. Her email address is also on the screen for you. For those of us who are in the sanctuary, I invite you to come now as a family. Be sure, and we'll kind of move from the front to the back. Keep distance between families as we have become accustomed to doing. But I invite you to come as a family and place your card and your form in the basket as we sing together, Here I Am, Lord, number 593. Now let us join together in our prayer of dedication that's printed in the bulletin. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness
You are a God of abundant love, mercy, and grace. You watch over us and provide for us all that we need. We give you this offering today as a symbol of our trust in you and a sign of our commitment to live for you. Receive our tithes and offerings, bless our pledges and intentions. Use us, all that we have and all that we are, for your goodwill and glory. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of commitment, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. If you'd like to become a part of the Asbury Church family, you're welcome to come forward on the singing of the last verse. Just a couple of quick reminders. The family-to-family boxes are available, and they're due next Sunday. Brother Nick is going to continue our Advent series, God With Us, and we're going to talk about love. Is that one right? But kind of in an interesting order, but that's coming up next week. We're excited about that. Don't forget about the building dedication this afternoon, 4 o'clock for dinner and the building dedication. And as soon as those two things are over, we're going to come in here into the sanctuary for our hanging of the greens. Be sure to pick up your devotional books that Nick mentioned earlier. Kids, register for the Santa and Sing Along. That's 2 weeks from today at 4 p.m. And don't forget, if you're interested in the communications director position or the or the nursery worker position, please contact those who were named earlier. I want to thank everybody. Thanks to the brass for being with us today. Amen. Thank y'all. So glad y'all were here. Y'all add so much. Even my baby brother. So glad that y'all were with us today. And I wanted to see, there was one other announcement that we need to make, and that is we do have a charge conference scheduled for December 6th at 6 p.m. in the warehouse. And what this is about one item, and you may be aware that the National Boy Scout of America organization is going through a bankruptcy. And our national United Methodist, they're trying to work out how they're trying to come to an agreement between the BSA and the chartering organizations that is beneficial to both.
We don't know what that agreement is, but it's supposed to be done very soon, and we will be voting on that on the 6th. It's not related to our local troop or our local PAC. It has more to do with this agreement between the Boy Scouts of America and chartering organizations in general. Does that make sense? And so that's what we'll be voting on. The voting members of the charge conference are the members of our church council. But anybody is welcome to attend that meeting if you want to know more. I'm supposed to find out more on Tuesday. Larry Carpenter has been in on this, and Jenny Curris as well, who's our trustees chairperson. If you're interested, there's not a whole lot that we can say. There's just not a whole lot that we know. We just know that we were going to have to take that vote on December 6th. So be aware of that and be in prayer for that. Would you now please receive this dismissal with blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.
Thank you.